Welcome back to Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor. Really pleased to have Dr. Quentin Henning with us once again. He's been a regular guest talking about various companies that he is either directly involved with, or a few of them he's also involved with as a technical advisor. Today, he's here to talk about Irving Resources, which is a very exciting story with projects in Japan. Irving trades Toronto under the symbol IRV. In the U.S., you can buy it, as I have, under the symbol IRVRF. 56.4 million shares is what I come up with at a dollar. At 272 gives it a market cap in U.S. money around $180 million. So thanks for joining me again, Quentin.
Thank you, Jay.
You know, it's always a pleasure to talk to you because you absolutely love what you're doing. You're very excited about the things you get involved with. And from what I can see, for the most time, especially in a bull market, you're very successful. So it's fun to talk to successful people. And speaking of success, I want to ask you about an August 13 drill result that you came, that you announced, and you say it is of some significance that you'd like to talk about today. That was one that graded 3.55 grams over 14.24 meters, which is, it's nice. It's not the most spectacular. It's a darn good intercept for sure, but that was at Omu mine site. Talk to us about that and why, what significance that intercept has for the project.
Sure. Thing. Look, it was our first, well, actually our second hole at the Nanko target, which is part of the Omu mine license that you mentioned. So to put it in perspective, the whole Omu project is about 180 square kilometers. The Omu mine license, which kind of forms a core around one of the key targets there, is approximately 3 square kilometers in size. And we've got two very robust targets on the Omu mine license. We've got the Hompi vein, which we drilled extensively late last year, you know, as a first pass. And then we have the Nanko target, which is about 500 or 600 meters to the southeast. So collectively, these have a pretty good footprint. I mean, you know, basically it's a vein system. And I think at this point we can confidently say it's connected, like the two what appear to be, you know, separate target areas are now connected, physically connected, which is very encouraging. All right. But we also see an extensive system of veins. You know, the drill intercept, the highlight, I would say, of the whole release of August. Gotta look at the date. Sorry, August 13th.
August 13th
was a 14.5 meter intercept, grading about 3.3 gram gold equivalent. It is, you know, like you said, it's not huge grade, but no, that is not the highlight. you caught me off a guard. We had the second hole there, number three.
Yeah,
which is the second hole at Nanko, hit 14.24 meters, 0.47 gram per ton gold equivalent. Okay, what I would emphasize about that intercept is the width is much bigger than we've seen. The width of the intercept is much bigger than we've seen to date in veins. So I think we're on this, you know, a major structure. It's certainly, you know, shallow. It's within, say, a couple hundred meters, about 180 meters of surface. In fact, it appears to project all the way up to surface, so that's very encouraging. It also is wide open at depth, and one of the more interesting things that we saw in this hole was quite a high-grade intercept, somewhat down hole from this. So at about 341 meters, so call it another 120 meters down hole from that intercept, we saw what was a very high grade, you know, kind of bonanza grade, we'll call it an intercept, of 1.72 meters that was grading about 1 ounce, you know, just under 1 ounce per ton. Okay, so what does that mean? Mm-hmm. Well, I think the lower intercept is actually a splay structure, basically a smaller structure that's broken off, or jutting off of the main structure, and it opens up the possibility that that big vein that we intersected higher up, you know, could increase in grade down below. So, what does it mean? It means we're early stage and we found a very, very big vein with evidence of high grade, you know, down at the more, we'll call it critical level, where there's boiling. The other hole that we drilled here, hole number two, so hole three was the highlight hole, but hole number two, which is about, I think, 200 meters east of hole three, it also hit multiple veins. We had, like I said earlier, 14.5 meters of 3.3 gram gold equivalent. We also had a smaller but, you know, significant intercept, about two meters of 13.8 gram gold equivalent. Okay, these are all very, very respectable intercepts from an epithermal vein system, especially early days. You know, to put it in perspective, I would say in most epithermal systems, you might see a hit rate of, you know, maybe, you know, one hole out of three or one hole out of two on a really good, you know, a system. In this case, we're hitting veins virtually every single hole. Okay, so these two holes have veins, as did all of the previous 10 holes that we drilled up here, had significant intercepts. I mean, that's a, you know, it's basically a huge success rate. It means there's a pretty extensive vein system down there. So we're very excited about it. We see multiple orientations of veins. We're just coming to grips with, you know, which way these veins are trending and stuff. And that's not uncommon in an early stage like this, but, you know, the key is we have two areas that now appear to be connected. We see extensive veining between those two areas based on the footprint of drilling we have right now. We know that there's veining, you know, for well over a kilometer, say, along strike from southeast to northwest. Multiple veins, multiple vein orientations, you know, these are the indications of a big, big system.
Mm-hmm. And we should also mention also that the host rock is of some value too. I believe the silica, or the, I think it's the veins that host this material can also be used and is valuable as well, which is a very important economic aspect of this. Yeah.
Our model is to find material that can be, you know, effectively used as smelter flux. All right, so the silicified wall rocks are not a deterrent in our case. You know, like we're not so worried about you know, the vein widths or whatever. We're worried about the silica content, you know, and then the precious metal is recovered through the smelting process. So that's a little bit different business model, but that's our story, and I think we're well onto a system that's going to fit that criteria.
All right. Well, another thing you wanted to talk about was an announcement of an option. You signed a term sheet to acquire a Jamagano mining license, and that, according to our friend Bob Moriarty, is a really big deal. But can you talk to us about that, and where does that stand right now?
Sure thing. So Jamagano is down in Kyushu. It's on the kind of polar opposite end of the country. It's on the southernmost big island. Kyushu is where Hishikari is located. So Hishikari is about, I think, around 10 kilometers northeast of us at Jamagano. Jamagano is a historic district. It's very famous. It was mined clear back beginning in the Edo period, so say about 420 years ago. It's produced quite a bit of gold. You know, official records range between about 1 and 2 million ounces. But high grade, you know, very high grade, and quite frankly, the system is wide open. We have some of the historic data. We can see that the veins are open at depth, but they're also open to the east, and that's where it gets very intriguing. We've staked the ground immediately east of Jamagano, and we think that you know, based on the geology, the gravity, you know, data that we have, we think we're in a setting very similar to the Hishikari deposit. Put it in perspective, Hishikari has been one of the highest grade gold producers on Earth for the past, say, 20-odd years. It's a fantastic epithermal vein mine. Again, it uses smelter flux. That's the kind of picture we see developing in Jamagano. We were very focused and deliberate about acquiring this property. We are working on definitive documents right now with the Shimadzu family. Shimadzu is kind of like dealing with the Rockefellers of Japan. Mm-hmm. They're a very famous, very wealthy family. But they've agreed to this deal. And we are going to bolt Jamagano together and have another very high-quality project.
Let me just quickly ask you what, if it was mined 420 years ago, it hasn't been mined recently. Is there a reason for that?
It was mined, I think, on a lease arrangement by Mitsui sometime in the past, up to the 70s or thereabouts.
Uh-huh.
And
okay.
It was used for smelter flux. Gold mining, as most people know, kind of went out of vogue in Japan there for quite some time. You know, as the labor costs rose and stuff, gold mining wasn't viewed as favorably. You know, things have changed dramatically now. And, you know, now it's again, once again, it's very economic to mine in Japan.
Absolutely. We're in a bull market of a lifetime for gold and silver. I'm telling people, I really, truly believe that. So, all right, let me ask you this then. There's one other issue that I wanted to really ask you about. On June 26th, you announced that that Sumitomo was getting involved. And, you know, Sumitomo invested $2.5 million, which is really like child's play for Sumitomo, a company of that size. But it has some significance, I believe. Can you talk about that?
Well, this is actually very important. Okay, so if you think of Japan, they're very, they're a very nationalistic country. Like the people, you know, all work together. They're all so when you see a major Japanese corporation step into a story like this, especially a little junior company, and then come in alongside Newmont, who of course is our shareholder as well, it speaks volumes. It says that this is, you know, this project, this company, Irving, is a highly respected entity in Japan at this point, that we, you know, that Sumitomo is there to make sure that the project and the company, is wildly successful. The whole notion here is that Newmont and Sumitomo at some point will exploit these deposits that we're exploring. So, you know, this is a wonderful story. I mean, we got the major mining company now, a major finance corporation in Japan backing this story. They're very focused on making sure that that everything's successful. They're also helping with us on the technical side, and quite frankly, they're helping with us with the logistical side. You know, Japan has not seen exploration for quite some time, so you know a lot of the bugaboos that have to be worked out. You know, Sumitomo Corporation has been able to help us. In fact, they introduced us to the Shimazu family. Okay, so that's how important that relation is.
Yeah, well, we can't forget Akiko Levinson, too, who's the president of the company, and her just a wonderful lady, and she has those connections in Japan.
Right.
I know you've worked with her for a number of years, and obviously the two of you make a great team. Then, Quentin, what can we look for in terms of news flow? Will there be some more drill results anytime soon?
Yes, we have, holes 4 and 5, I believe at the labs. We saw veins and, you know, Ginguro and stuff in those. We'll have some good news around that. We're currently drilling, so we've got, hole 6, now 7 is underway. We'll continue drilling at Omui mine site until probably mid-October, thereabouts. And then we're going to shift back to Omui Center. We're going to retest certain areas. Especially under hole 2 from the earlier this year, where we think that there's a plumbing system. So we've got a lot of drill data or drill news flow coming. We also have found out that we've got acceptance of our other tenements. Like you have to go through a granting process. Mm-hmm. We've got acceptance of our other tenements at Omu, which means we can now start applying for drill permitting at Hokuria, for example.
Oh, wonderful.
And that'll be, certainly be in the news stream in early to mid 2021. So, we're building up a series of targets. We're building up, this story very, very deliberately and very successfully.
Yeah, for sure. And again, only 56.4 million shares outstanding. You're pretty well funded, I believe. You certainly have the deep pockets behind you. Technical resources as well from the likes of Newmont and Sumitomo. It's a wonderful story, Quentin. Thank you so much again for being with us, and we'll want to keep up with this one, that's for sure, going forward. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Jake.